I am, Sarah.
All right, Dave, do you have any others that have joined you since?
Yes, there are. There are others that will be joining some others.
There are.
Dave, Minneapolis is on the line.
Okay, terrific.
So who's on the line from Minneapolis, Rexel?
I'm sorry. Who's on the line from Minneapolis from Excel?
Nate Tron with Revenue Requirements.
David Brock, Transmission Planning.
Allison Archer with Legal.
Okay, and Dave, you're in Fargo. Is that the extent of your team today?
Yes, it is.
Okay, very good. So we have your slides, and we have them up on the on our screen. I guess since this is a separate case, I'm going to start this one and call it to order separately. So we are gathered on the 12th floor of the state capitol. It's November 30th. It's about 2:40. And we are here to talk about, have an informal hearing on case number PU-16-658, the NSB Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rider. And sitting with us at the commission are myself, my colleagues, Randy Christman, Brian Kalk, and Jerry Leon from staff, and Sarah Cardwell from staff. I believe the folks from NSP have already introduced themselves. I don't know that any of us have opening comments.
I do not.
I'm seeing everyone shake their head. So with that, I will turn it over to the portfolio holder, Brian, unless you want to just kick it over to the company.
No, I think go right to the company.
All right. So, Dave, you can run the show however you guys so choose in terms of providing your information to us, and we'll ask questions as we go.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchak. First thing I'd like to do is just thank the commission for accommodating our presentation being done over the phone. I had intended on being there today, but when I woke up this morning, it was snowing at this end of the state, too. So I appreciate Sarah being sensitive to the weather conditions on our behalf. I'm going to walk us through the application. If there are questions, I'll do my best to either answer or to refer to the appropriate expert team that we have from Minneapolis. This is our third TCR rate filing. The TCR rider for NSP was initiated as part of our last rate case settlement. We just, at that point, only had the tariff. We didn't have an actual rate until one was approved for 2014. So this is our third one. I provided on page two just a reference summary of the statute that underpins the rider. I'm not going to elaborate on that. It's there for your reference. But moving on to slide three, I'm just going to highlight a few key points of our petition. We are adding one project in the 2017 rider to the existing list of 35 projects. The new project is actually a North Dakota project. It's at our Prairie substation in the Grand Forks area, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. We're requesting recovery of about $7.3 million in transmission-related revenue requirements and MISO costs. This amount does reflect an upward adjustment to the $6.9 million that we had in our initial application, and that revision or that upward adjustment is due to the recent FERC order regarding the MISO ROE, and I'll discuss that too a little bit later. And then lastly here, the rate that we're proposing represents about a tenth of a cent increase per kilowatt hour. And we estimate the impact to the typical residential customer to be about 66 cents per month. I'm going to move on to slide four here and talk a little bit about this adjustment that we've made in our initial filing to reflect the MISO ROE reduction. As Otter Tail indicated in their presentation, there are actually two separate complaints regarding the MISO ROE. We had a recent decision from FERC in September on the first case. The ROE was reduced from 12.38 down to 10.32, and that's with a 50 basis point adder as well. We updated our MISO tariffs in October of 2016, and so our tariffs have reflected the change since that time. Now, there's also a refund period, as Otter Tail mentioned, there's a refund period that's associated with this first case. And I understand that there's a maximum of 15 months that you can include in sort of a retroactive refund period. So it's running from November of 2013 to February of 2015. We have not made an adjustment for that yet. That information is still forthcoming, and I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So the second complaint that's out there is still pending, and we're expecting a FERC decision later next year, probably in the springtime. So that case also has not been reflected in anything that I'm going to present here today. On slide five, just continuing a little bit what we've done here, for NSP, a lower return on equity, MISO ROE, actually will result in reduced net RECB expenses, if you will. I'm sorry, net RECB revenues. We actually take in more revenue than we expend, and so when there's a reduction in the return, those net revenues are reduced, and hence our recovery, our total overall transmission recovery, increases. So what we've done now in this adjustment, and by the way, we filed our initial application earlier. We have not filed the adjustment that I'm talking about today, but we intend on doing that as soon as we can after we've had this informal hearing. So the net impact is an increase of $584,000 to our initial TCR filing. And again, that reflects the lower MISO ROE from October 2016, when we initiated the tariffs with the lower rates, all the way through the end of 2017, which our initial filing contemplated. So we are increasing our original ask from the $6.9 million up to the $7.3 million number.
So Dave, Brian here, let me make sure I understand what you just told me. So now, how are we going to do that? Because you're going to want a decision here at the end by December on this. So should we be deciding this on the $6.7 million or on what you just told me? And then if you give us new information, then can we wrap this thing up in December? How do you see this playing out?
Well, what we're suggesting here is that the FERC information, the adjustment we were able to make here just recently, we haven't filed it with you formally, but we're certainly able to do that literally any time here. As soon as we're done with this hearing, we can get that filing to you, and it will reflect the $7.3 million amount.
So why didn't you file it before today, just out of curiosity? Is there some trigger that you can't file it till, now?
Well, we could have filed it a little bit earlier than this. We did just sort of come up with the number, calculate the estimate here fairly recently. We could have filed right away, but we just thought that it would be fine to go through this conversation first and then incorporate any comments or anything else that might come up today.
Well, I'm the last person that tries to make more legal headaches for us, but I'm not even sure if we notice a 6.9 or 6.7 increase for an informal, and we try to change it to a 7 point whatever, that's not enough where it has to be re-noticed. And I'm not trying to make more work here, but do you have to do it this year, or is it something you can true up next year?
We felt it would be best to be timely with the true-up and include what we have as soon as we can, rather than, you know, the other true-up portion, the retroactive piece that I had indicated before, we do intend on including that in our 2018 TCR, but that's mainly because those figures aren't really available yet and won't be until summer of 2017. We won't really be able to come up with the estimate of that retroactive adjustment, but going forward, we are able to make a fairly reasonable estimate. We could, I mean, depending on how the commission would like to go, I mean, I suppose we could roll it all into some future true-up. But I'll ask Nate if he has a comment on that.
Yeah, Dave, I was just going to chime in. We could, you know, if the commission would like us to essentially wait until 2017 to include not only the retroactive period, but also sort of our year-to-date 2017 actuals at the revised FERC ROE, we could certainly accommodate that.
I have a question about the FERC, about the increase, and I'll throw it out here now, and we can puddle on the issue of how to best address the change, but so the ROE went, the FERC ROE, approved ROE went from 12.38% to 10.32%. So that should be a reduction in the costs. Why is the cost going up? Why is the tariff going up?
The company, NSP, collects revenue from MISO for the transmission investment it has, and then we do pay for transmission that other utilities own. It just so happens that we actually collect more RECB revenue than we expend. So there's always a credit, a net credit to our customers, our retail customers in North Dakota. So when there's a reduction in the ROE, we actually end up reducing revenues more than we reduce our RECB expense.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, I'm going to ask Sarah. In Sarah's memo, she recommends we put it in here right away. Did you have any thoughts other than what you put in your note there, Sarah? Maybe walk through that. And have you contemplated, as long as everything is, can we make this change the way it was noticed?
I didn't think about us needing to renotice if we added more costs in there. And so I was just thinking that because it'll, you know, there'll be even more of an increase next year, that it would be better to increase by a little bit this year. But if we can't do that without having to notice again, then I guess I would advise waiting unless we want them to wait on this until we can do a new notice period if need be. I mean, I'd just check with Alana or Jack to
I think
sure that
we could do that. And Nate, I know you're not my attorney, at least not today anyway, but the do you have any thoughts, I guess, about the question we're deliberating back here about the notice and the change and all that?
Commissioner,
or Allison, I guess.
Allison,
I'm sorry, Allison.
Yeah.
You're our attorney here today.
I am the attorney here today. I think that that's right, that it wasn't noticed for this amount, and I think it would need to be re-noticed. I mean, I can certainly talk to Jack as well, or Alana, or if Sarah's planning on doing that, and we can circle back on that issue.
Okay.
And I will say, I think we should check with our own attorneys, too.
Absolutely. I just want to see if there was a functional disagreement.
Yeah, I don't know what the legal term is in this section of law, but it seems like usually these things are if there's, like, very substantial changes. And so it becomes a question of, is this much substantial or not? But, you know, if it seems to me we know it's coming. We know it now, a month before the end of the year. If it's impossible to get it done, then I guess it needs to be put off. But if it turns out at the end of the day that it's something we approve, I think if it's possible to approve it this year, I'd rather approve it now and have it done and worked into the system.
Sounds good. Thank you, Allison, and I appreciate the Iowa grad giving us that information, even though the Bison were successful over Iowa this year in football.
You're going to keep bringing that up, aren't you?
At least till the next time.
I would also chime in terms of the mechanics of collecting this or holding off and pushing it to next year. I'd rather keep it included in this year's tariff changes and not make it extra confusing next time around when you're kind of doing work that was really belonged in the previous year. So I think it's better to, it's confusing enough as it is. Let's try to keep it as tight as we can to the charges and expenses of the existing year or the year that we're collecting from.
Agree.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yeah, I think that was sort of our thinking, too. And on slide 6 is sort of a comparison of our initial filing to what we're proposing here with the revision. And I apologize. I think I might have said $6.9 million. It's the original application. The total revenue requirement was $6.7 million, and then the $584,000 adjustment is what moves it up to $7.3 million. So the impact on the customer bill is about 20 cents a month for making this revision based on our initial filing.
What happens if we don't make the end of year deadline?
Well, I think there's at least a couple of options. One is if we're just a couple of weeks late or a month late or whatever, we could sort of bunch up the expenses for 2017 into an 11-month time frame and adjust the TCR rate accordingly to do that. I guess the other option is to just go without that 1 month, and then that would come back in the true up in the following year. So,
okay. All right. Well, we'll see what the attorneys tell us we can do.
I just look for both of them all tied up.
Okay.
On slide 7, just to talk a little bit about the project that we're including this year, the new project. It's the we've got it listed in our application as the Fossum Interconnection, but really from our standpoint, the work we're doing is converting the Prairie Sub. And this is a kind of a technical project, and David Brock is on the phone and can get into more of the specifics, but currently the Prairie Sub is configured as a 6-breaker, 6-position ring bus configuration, and by converting it to a 12-position breaker and a half configuration, we can accommodate what he's told me are 12 elements, and an element is like a line or a breaker or a capacitor. So what's the advantage of that is that if you've got 12 positions, if there's an interruption on any one of those, you're not interrupting or affecting multiple elements. So it's a reliability situation whereby we're expanding or enhancing the reliability of that sub without really, physically expanding the sub. And it positions the sub pretty well also for the future Fossum interconnection, Minn Kota's 115 kV interconnection to their Fossum sub. So that's the project that's being added. We had about $14,000 included in the 2017 calendar year. The total project cost is about $11.5 million. North Dakota's portion of that would be about $600,000, and we're expecting to start construction on that in late 2017 with an in-service date of January 2019. So that's the singular project that we're putting into our TCR list this year.
Dave, wasn't that the one a few years ago you guys came in for that Minn Kota tie-in as a CP, and I always forget CPCNN.
And you're just I'll let David answer that.
I'll just step in there, Dave. That was for the interconnection of NSP's transformer number 7 into Minn Kota's 230 kV bus at their Prairie substation.
Oh, okay. So we got all these Prairie subs.
This is kind of the reverse situation where Minn Kota's interconnecting to us.
Okay. Thank you.
Slide 8 is intended to sort of highlight the change from the revenue requirements that we're presently recovering in the TCR this year to what we're proposing. The increase is from $5.4 million up to $7.3 million. And as you can see here, our capital investment, really the revenue requirements associated with our own investment, our own transmission lines and related equipment, hasn't really changed much. The big change here is in the net REC B. You can see that our present rate was based on credits of $1.4 million, and now we're just right around $100,000 proposed for 17. And a chunk of that is the lower ROE again. But the other piece is just simply the fact that there is more investment being made in the MISO footprint for multi-value projects and even within the NSP load zones by other utilities. So you've got more investment, and then our personal load ratio share has gone up each year as well, NSPs. So we're just seeing more of the expense coming in each year, and, of course, either static or reduced revenues now with the lower ROE. So that's a big piece. The other bigger piece is the fact that we have a larger true-up here in this filing than what we had included in the 2016 TCR. It's about a $500,000 increase in the true-up, the balance that we're carrying over. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of slides, too. Slide 9 is just more of an interesting slide to indicate or to show that about 75% of the projects being recovered through the TCR are these CapEx and the Big Stone Brookings lines. Those are still by far the largest revenue requirement drivers there. And then on slide 10, here's a comparison of what we're proposing for 2017 related to what we currently have. The rate that we have today recovers about $1.76 from the typical residential customer. And again, we're proposing to increase that by about 66 cents up to $2.42. That's how much the impact of the TCR in total will be under this proposal.
Dave, quick question back to the last slide. What's the, I can never remember, how long till the CapEx lines are paid for? Are these like 30-year projects or 50-year projects? I can't remember.
Well, I think the normal life on those is 35 to 40 years. I don't know, Dave, do you have any knowledge of the expected service life?
Like, when are they paid for is a real question. When will these drop off, if you will?
Dave, I think this is more of an accounting financial life question, more so than the service life.
Right.
I can get back to you on that, Commissioner, but I'm thinking in that 35 to 40-year range.
And I don't need it for the decision, but I just try to keep those numbers in front of all of us.
I'm just going to move to the slide 11 here, the tracker summary, and this is kind of a bit of an explanation as to the true-up that we're including in this proposed TCR, the $631,000. Essentially the carryover, if you will, the under-recovered amount from 2016. We actually had much lower sales than what we had anticipated when we set up the rate in 2016, so that contributed about $250,000. And then we have lower net REC B revenues, again, not only from the ROE piece, the lower ROE, but just kind of missing that forecast when we established the rate for 2016. There were actually lower revenues that actually came in. So, and that was somewhat offset by lower capital revenue requirements in actuality compared to what we had set up. So in any event, it provides for a little bit larger carryover than what we had last year when we built the tariff.
Dave, I'm not sure I'm understanding how that happens in the lower net REC B revenues. Does that mean that people are just using less power than you expected? Or give me the Senex version of that, if you will. I'll explain that to somebody.
Well, I'll just start by saying a part of that is the change in the ROE. So, you know, we definitely
understand.
Yep. And then, you know, there is going to be some noise, too, in just trying to project the revenues as well. So it might not be anything systemic. It might simply be that we missed the mark on that. But I'll open that up to the team, too, to see if Nate or anyone else would like to elaborate.
Yeah, Dave, this is Nate. You know, in regards to the actual forecasting of our transmission revenues and expenses, you know, that is an area which our transmission accounting area handles. And so having a sort of a working knowledge of the details of that, I do not have on hand currently. However, we can dig in further upon completion of this informal hearing.
Well, and I know Randy's got a question after me, but I just, whenever this comes to a motion, I'll talk about it. I'd like to be able to give just a reasonable explanation as to how the lower TCR ended up and what the RECB ended up. I can explain away the ROE changes, but some of this would just be nice to help some more info. So if you want to just get that to Sarah, and she'll pass it along.
Okay.
So you seem to mostly focus the discussion on the revenues and expenses of your transmission, but I'm still back a page trying to figure out on page 10, how did you get this far off on your megawatt hour sales? This seems like a pretty substantial underestimate, and I wonder what you attribute it to, and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay, on slide 10, what we're showing here is our projected 2016 megawatt hour sales versus what we are building into our 2017 TCR. Now, the 2017 sales are lower than 2016, and you may be wondering about that a little bit.
Yep.
Our 2016 projection here was too high. We are actually coming in quite a bit lower than what we had projected here, the 2.3 million megawatt hours. It's looking more in the neighborhood of 2.259 megawatt hours. And 2016 is a leap year, I understand, so that actually gave us another 0.3% increase in sales. That if we normalize that out, we're actually showing for 2017 just a slight increase in sales over what we're now seeing in 2016. Interestingly enough, our sales in North Dakota have dropped now for 3 years in a row. Well, 2015 it dropped from 2014 levels, and 2016 dropped from 2015 levels. And those are on a weather-normalized basis, too, so we are seeing a reduction in sales, and that is being reflected here in our 2017 number.
So how much do you attribute that to demand response systems and energy efficiency programs and things like that? This is basically what a lot of people are trying to get customers to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll have to say I was a little surprised, because even though our growth in North Dakota is fairly low, anemic, I might say, it's always kind of been positive. So to see reductions here in the last couple of years is a little bit surprising, and I don't really have an answer for it yet. If it's somewhat related to the economy or what, I'm not sure.
Well, it seems like we should take credit when credit is due, and perhaps the programs that a lot of folks are promoting seem to be working. And what the part that's not working is they're always sold as something that's going to keep energy costs down, but the fact of the matter is it seems like the cost of running the system doesn't change that much, and so when they save on the amount of electricity they use, they're not really saving any money because you're just going to end up having to raise the rate because mm-hmm. the cost really didn't go down that much. You just talked them into using less. So it wasn't formed in a question, but it's meant to be a question, so please respond.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, the recovery has to occur in some way, some fashion. So it does put upward pressure on the unit price of electricity.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that's all we had to talk about today. If there are any other questions, I guess we can take them at this point.
Dave, does it functionally matter if the decision on this is December 14th or January 3rd? Does that make a big difference if we somehow get a notice out here quickly with the updated number and we don't vote in this thing until our first meeting of 2017? Or is this something that, I mean, what kind of difference does that make, a notice, a difference of 3 days into the next year?
I don't think it's significant, Commissioner. I mean, I would like to huddle again with the team and talk about what the impact of that could be, but I don't think that's a big deal offhand.
Here's what I'm proposing just in this general discussion, which is just my viewpoint, that, you know, we'll go back and have Sarah, we'll circle back around, but I'm guessing we'll have to renotice the new number. And then depending what the notice period is, we may or may not be able to get it wrapped up in December for a decision. But I would say that the notice period at the most would be 20 days, and then we could get this thing wrapped up for January 4th. We'll no doubt have a special meeting or two before the end of the year, but I just throw that out there just to see what your, if you could get that, if you guys could just pontificate a bit now, or if you want to get back, either way. But that's kind of what I'm thinking out loud here, is that try to do what we can in December, but it may have slipped it out to January 4th.
Sure. I think we'd like to get back to you or staff on that question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions for Sarah or the company? All right.
I have one other comment to make that I forgot to make. Commissioner Kalk, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even a month or so ago, when we had the informal hearing on the Minot load serving project, you had asked at that point in time if that project was included in the TCR.
Right.
And I had indicated that no, it hadn't been. But in just reviewing our application, I see here that it was included in 2016 because there were some minor sort of pre-construction costs related to that that were included in the 10 projects that were approved in 2016. So there haven't been many expenditures related to it, but it is, in fact, on the list of the 36 projects that are in the TCR.
All right. Thank you, Dave. You know, it's funny you asked that question, and it prompted another thought in my head of a question, and this is for anybody. When MISO and SPP finally resolved that issue of the, oh, boy, here we go, the load flows between MISO North and South using some of SPP's lines, and then MISO was ordered to pay SPP a box of money. How did that trickle back to you guys? Because I'm sure you have to cough up some of that money. Does that string a bell to anybody?
I'm not able to answer that. Is there anyone in the group?
Jerry, do you remember that discussion?
Yeah, and I don't know, it's in the MISO charges somewhere.
Well, I just, if you could maybe just get back, if you don't know the group, the Sarah on that, because the FERC has ruled, but I'm just trying to get an impact of what that actually meant down to our IOUs, because it was a hotly contested item, and I just never did get a feel back of how much money we had to put back into to give to MISO that then transfer back to SPP because of that 1,000 megawatts, I think, of what it was, a line transfer somewhere between the MISO North and South. So Dave, can you talk to your guys and get something back to Sarah, and Jerry's going to look for us too?
Sure.
Thanks.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Hearing no other questions, thank you, NSP, Dave, and your team for the information today, and Sarah. And we'll wrap this up. Get back to us with that other information and the timing of how we can make this all happen with the adjustments, and we'll get it done as soon as we can. All righty. Thanks, everybody.
Yep. Thank you.